Hi, welcome to, this is episode 4 of the Battle College podcast. This one was recorded on February 10th, 2013.
And tonight's topic is, it's going to be a little bit different than some of the previous podcasts we've had. We're going to be talking about VMR, which is Voluntary Magic Reset, or TRO, Treasure Reset Option. And it should be sort of a different sort of conversation than what we normally have. We're going to talk about sort of what it is, how it works, some people's experience with it, and then also talk about the policy and how it was created. We have the creator of the policy on tonight. And it should be a good podcast.
Speaking of which, we have three guests tonight, which is a little unusual. Our first guest is Ray Appling, who was in charge of the project that created the policy. We have Jeff Loates, who is one of the only people in Denver Boulder who has so far actually already used the policy. And we have Brandon Slayton, who will be using the policy very soon. So we hope that we can have a lively discussion between the all five of us and see what we think about VMR or TRO. We're probably going to call it VMR for the rest of the session. So,
yeah. And just so our guests, thank you all for coming, by the way. And just to let you guys know, the ground rules, anything is fair game. Say whatever you want. Swear, we don't really care. Be completely honest. That's what we really want here. So we really want to hear your guys' opinions and how you feel about it and sort of get different sides to this sort of discussion. So, Will, why don't you start us off, and do you want to tell us what VMR is to start with, and then we'll get into some of the questions?
Sure. So the VMR, which is Voluntary Magic Reset, is also called the Treasure Reset Option. And it's actually part of the character audit process. Normally, your character needs to be audited in order to use Cap for Gold. And if you don't know what Cap for Gold is, that's its own problem. But it's basically a process whereby a character can throw away all of the magic items that they currently have and get new treasure, whether that be gold or items or, you know, whatever they want to get. And the way it works is you get an amount of gold to spend on treasure that is a percentage of your experience points. To complicate things further, the actual percentage depends on your level. The one I'm most familiar with is once you get to 8th, 9th, and 10th level, you get 70% of your experience points in gold to spend on your voluntary magic reset. Everyone is allowed to do a voluntary magic reset once per character. So once you've done it for that character, you can never do it again. There are all sorts of questions about, you know, how maybe it was meant to be used or how it is used, etc. And we'll be going over a lot of those tonight. I think that's it in a nutshell. That's what voluntary magic reset is.
So just give a quick example, just for people out there. So like 9th level, how much experience is that, Will? Like 320,000, is that correct?
Yeah, close. Top of 9th is, I think, 319,999.
Okay, and so you get 70% of your EP as treasure? Right. So you would then be able to get 209,999 gold pieces worth of treasure if you did a reset of a character with that much EP.
That's exactly right. And in the policy itself, it talks about having a menu. It talks about having a pre-built list, which is supposed to be built by your local sanctioning committee. But so far, the way that those VMRs have worked, at least in Denver Boulder, is you basically just make up a list, you price it out, you make sure that all of your blue book calculations are correct, and you send it in. So, but we'll talk about all that a little bit later.
Okay. So Ray, first of all, thank you for coming on, and you were one of the people that sort of helped come up with this policy. Can you sort of tell us how this policy came to be and sort of the history behind it?
Sure. Thank you for having me on, and hopefully this will clarify a few things where this came from. As Will already mentioned, the process really came out of the registry audit process as a whole, so it's hard to take VMR out just by itself, because it's not a policy just by itself. The reason why the option is in there is to allow someone who may potentially have a very tricky, very spotty record-keeping problem with their records, whereas either they've lost a lot of records or the registry's lost their records. And the process that you go through getting your cap taken care of, and then your EP points for your character taken care of, then lead you to this third phase of an audit process where you can either audit all your treasure, say, I have these items, and then registry says, okay, I think you have these items too, and then you guys are settled on it, or you can choose the reset option. Now, the reason that it's in there is because it's very difficult for some older characters that have been around for 15, 20 years, to sometimes consolidate those treasure items. Additionally, some of those treasure items are illegal in the current system. So in order to clean up registry, it seemed like a logical progression to allow this as an option instead of going through the audit.
Okay, and so, I mean, we have characters going back from 1981, and the magic, you know, sort of system, the blue book, the way we create magic items have changed, and like you said, the character records were very spotty since back then for some of these characters. So this is just a way that we could take all these old paper records and get them into an electronic format that we can track from here on out. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's essentially the process. It was another alternative to tediously going through all of your treasure items, because you have to go through and verify the savvies on all of these mega items that some characters have. Now, not all characters are like that, but it was a problem for older chapters like DB. Younger chapters aren't necessarily going to have this issue. So, you know, that played a big factor into how we actually approached the entire process in Journal, because if we make this process available to one chapter, we have to make this process available for every chapter. So to come up with the entire process beginning to end was literally a 3-year-long discussion to get there. So it was very carefully thought out, and we did think about different ways it would be used.
Sure. Nice. Oh, go ahead, Will.
I was just going to say, it seems like it was pretty successful. We've used the audit policy the way it's supposed to work a number of times here, and it feels like you really do end up with a much more solid sort of character and history, and everyone sort of agrees on what it's like, and it seems to have done what it was supposed to do. So
that was the intent. Yes, that was the intent.
And it also seems like it's taken some of those uber powerful magic items that may have been given out in the past and found a way to make them a little bit more fair. Where these characters could still keep those items if they want as a legacy item, but if they didn't want to do that, they could do this treasure reset and sort of get these items down to a more manageable magic item, something that's, you know, probably more realistic.
Yes, absolutely. That was the entire intent.
Okay. So Will, do we want to talk about VMRs here in DB?
Yeah. So we've actually had only two VMRs actually go through so far. Since the policy came about, which I think was 2011. We have two more on the way. We have one currently in sanctioning, and then we expect another one very soon. I guess as soon as Brandon gets his list together. So here's the way it tends to work in Denver Boulder right now is when you decide you want to do a VMR for a particular character, you build a list of the items that you want, you price it out, you make sure it's within your whatever your particular budget is. You send that to the SC. The SC looks it over, and the very first thing they do is they send on to registry basically a request for permission to VMR. And registry makes sure that they have the EP they say they do. And I guess that's all they really check at the moment. And they send back word to the SC to say, great, you're good to go. The SC then looks over the list, makes sure it's all priced out correctly, makes sure that all the items are legal, makes sure that the person doing the VMR hasn't tried anything ridiculous, and then either passes it or doesn't pass it, or, you know, sends comments and suggestions, you know, this item is broken, you didn't price it correctly, et cetera, et cetera. Current theory, VMR theory, if there is such a thing, says that you should basically play a character up to 8th level. Once you get that character at 8th level, you then spend the EP to peg it to the top of 9th level, which I think, as we mentioned earlier, is 319,999 experience points, so 1 point from 10th, and then call for your VMR. Which will give you a budget of 209,999 gold pieces worth of magic. You throw away whatever old silly items you had before, and you get whatever it is you can agree with the SC that you can have. That's basically the way it's been working here. And yeah, as I said, we've had two work that way. They worked pretty fast and pretty well. And then we've got two more on the way. And I'm sure we'll discuss some problems with those in a little bit.
So, Jeff, you went through this this process. So, Will, you went through this process first. I think you were our first VMR here in Denver Boulder with Firstborn.
That's right.
But let's go ahead and talk to Jeff a little bit. So, Jeff, you went through this process. How did it work for you? Which character did you VMR, and sort of what was your experience with the VMR process?
Sure. So the character that I did with VMR is named Tianas, and he's a mage that I've been playing, well, for a long time. I was active in IFGS when I was a whole lot younger and came back to it in about 2008, 2007. And so so it's interesting to hear Ray talk about the origins of this, because in some ways it was very accurate. This is an old character and the records are spotty, but by no means would I say that I had that I was doing this to clean up an otherwise overly powered and questionable magic list. The character was old and was of medium level, I think 5th or 6th, but certainly was not overpowered by any stretch in magic items. So following current VMR theory, as has been quoted here, I played him and got him up and then pumped some cap into him. I didn't actually make it all the way to the top of 9th, but that was okay. And then I sat down and just started playing with the blue book. I'd been doing sanctioning for a little while at that point, so I sort of knew the ropes and what you could and couldn't do, and it was a fairly quick turnaround. I had just misworded one item, which caused some ruckus, and there was one known loophole, I guess I would call it, accepted loophole in one type of item that the local SC was a little fussy about, but in the end it was relatively painless, and I've really, frankly, really enjoyed playing the character with the VMR magic items.
Okay.
Ray, is as far as we've explained it so far, and as far as Jeff's experience for it, is that basically how you guys envisioned it, how you expected it to go?
Is that what that question's for me?
Yeah, totally.
It was certainly discussed that the possibilities of people using it in this way were going to happen. We had no. Let's see, what's a good way of putting it? We didn't really have a problem with it, because problem is a rather strong word. We felt that if a player worked hard enough, earning cap, administratively, staffing, writing, producing games, and they had little opportunity to play a character, that sure, why not? They can cap a character up if they want. But there's a downside to it. The downside is that all of a sudden, if you have capped yourself up to 8th, 9th, 10th level, then if you're not an experienced player, you're going to find yourself in a position where you don't really know your class. You don't know other people's classes, and it's really difficult to play an 8th, 9th, 10th level character in a game that way. Nobody's going to want basically a noob playing on their team, and you're going to play poorly. So there's a downside to it. Yeah, you can do it, and you can have all the nice toys, and it feels cool to be able to say, yeah, I've got a 10th level character. But unless you really know the game well, there's a downside to it. Now, on the other side of the coin, if you're a veteran character or veteran player, I should say, that's been around for 15, 20 years, and you really know the game well, and you've already got a couple of high-level characters, then maybe doing this isn't such a bad thing for you. So it really depends on the player. In addition to that, you're also missing the role-playing factor. When you talk about VMR theory, to me that really says you're min-maxing. You care more about the min-maxing than you do role-playing the character, growing with it, spending a couple of years, making those character relationships, getting into that persona. You don't have as much time to do that if you're capping up quickly. your relationships are going to be shorter lived, or you're not going to get into it as much. But you know, maybe that's how you want to play the game. And so as we discussed these things in the policy and how it's going to be implemented, we asked ourselves, does that really matter? Do we want to impose something that may not be fun to someone else? So if you get fun out of having that super high-level character and you've earned all that cap and that's what you want to do, more power to you. Have a great time.
So I think TNS, Jeff's magic user, is a great example, I guess almost counterexample to both the things you mentioned. I'll let him actually talk for himself.
Sure,
but it seems to me like he was kind of a noob as far as an MU goes. He did cap up pretty fast. And he actually used his VMR to build his character. Does that sound about right, Jeff?
Yeah, several things occur to me. I mean, one is just that we have this rich variety of player types in IFGS, and I would never call it a strength, but one of the things that I've grown to accept about myself is that as much as I really want to be an excellent role player, it's really hard for me to stay in that headspace, and I don't think I do it very well. But I really enjoy some of the metagaming aspects of a game, of virtually any kind of game, and IFGS is no exception. So I actually really enjoy the metagame aspect of how can I make this work best, or what's the best way to make that happen. And I certainly feel maybe 10 times more connected to the magic items that I have because of VMR than I did to any of the magic items I had prior to that. The magic items I had prior to that were sort of a hodgepodge, random collection of things that were it was the only item that a mage could possibly really care for in that game, or it was the only one left after I lost the roll of the die back in 1991 or whatever. And so by having a chance to not simply pick the most powerful items, I mean, certainly I'd be guilty of some of that, but also to say, if this character were, I mean, the way I took it was literally, if this character were given a chance to create their own magic items and do that, what would they seek out? What kinds of strengths and weaknesses would they build for themselves? And that sort of thing.
Okay, so it sounds like what we're at this point is we all understand how VMR works. We understand that we can cap up. So now we're sort of talking about the ethics of VMR. Is should VMR be used this way? What does it do for character development? Does it help? Does it hinder? I've had this discussion with quite a few people, and I think there's a lot of people on sort of different ends of the spectrum here. So Brandon, you're coming up to doing a VMR, and you are a person that you've produced a lot, you've NPC'd a lot, but you don't get a whole lot of chance to play these high-level characters, and you're about to do a VMR. Where do you sort of stand on this whole VMR process?
Well, as you said, I don't get a lot of chance to play in the high-level games in the area or travel to high-level games. I'm generally either sanctioning or producing or NPCing them. So I have not had the chance to get some of the items or even to the shops that would let me get some items that would be nice to have for characters of my level. So I look at the VMR as a way to get items for my characters that are, you know, integral to the concept of the character, very similar to what Jeff was stating. These are the items I'm putting together are items that make the character concept work better than the random array of magic items that can be put into a game with the game budget allowance, which is pretty small even for large games. And you know, the very nature of those budgets don't allow for a lot of items that are really integral to character concept. They're generally generalized magic items. So I'm looking at it as a way to increase both the playability and the depth of my character concept with the magic items I'm working on putting together.
Okay, so it sounds like a very similar thing that Jeff did as well with his character, that he sort of used it as a way to increase the depth of his character. And I know that Will's next VMR, his mage that's in Sanctioning right now, it's the same sort of thing. He's trying to go for a way that sort of builds the depth of the character and increases who he is. Ray, do you have any feeling on other chapters on how they're using VMR other than Denver Boulder?
No. I designed it, and everybody else that was in on the project, to be universal, so that no matter what condition a chapter's registry was in, whether it was pristine or not, anybody could get something out of this to help themselves do what Jeff is doing and what Brandon is doing, or just to simply clean up their character. It makes the game cleaner in a lot of ways. So I... You know, whether a chapter uses it or not, how they use it, it's really up to them.
Do you actually know whether they've used it or not? I mean, you would know more than the rest of it. We're a little insular.
Actually, no. It's not like people report to us when they do. The process requires that when a player wants an audit, that they go through their chapter registry, and their chapter registry then, after the process is over with, and they go through the sanctioning and all that stuff. When it's done, it's actually a matter of public record. But that matter of public record doesn't necessarily reach society board or society registry unless there's an issue. So I don't actually hear about it. And we haven't heard a lot. We haven't heard complaints. We haven't heard people blatantly misusing it or finding loopholes in it that would be game-breaking. We really tried to make it bulletproof in the way that it would be used. And yes, I see where there's a min-maxing perspective to it. We knew that was going to be something that would happen. We tried to minimize it as much as we could. And that's about as best you can... That's as best you can do.
I think you actually did a pretty good job. Mike and I were talking about the sort of the min-max aspect. The first VMR that I did for my knight... That was as close to min-max as I could get it. I certainly made some mistakes that I think now I would probably do even better, but I think we agreed that even at the most I could min-max it, I still came out at about 80% of the power of, you know, some of the power players that have been playing here for years.
Well, that was that's the idea. In some ways, to level that playing field. There, over the years, and this probably should be said too, there has been a gross imbalance over the years, and this is just personal opinion. This is not me as a society board member or a registered or anything like that. This is just things that I've heard over the years. I've been in the organization for 22 years, and I'm kind of in that middle ground. I'm not exactly veteran like Brandon is, but I'm not exactly a noob either. So I've seen kind of both sides of it, and I kind of felt like in some places, not in every chapter, but in some places, there seems to be a gross imbalance between your levels, the items, how the items are used, and there are some, you know, newer players, newer recruits into the IFGS who see these very powerful things, and it might take them 6-7 years to actually get up to a level that they feel is on par with some of the veteran players that we currently have. So we felt, well, how do we reward these people when they're actually doing work? If they're writing games and running games and chairing committees and doing all this work, but yet they're still playing a fifth level mage.
With not a lot of magic?
Yeah, with not a lot of magic. It's really hard to play catch up. You can't. You honestly can't. So this helps people enjoy the game in a way that they couldn't have before, if they want to go through that process. And it still is a process. You have to really want this. It's not a willy-nilly thing. You have to get your cap organized and all your character experience organized, and all those things have to be verified before you can even get to the goodies. You have to do all that first before you can get to a treasure reset. So,
sure.
Yeah, it's a process. So if you really want it, you can do it.
I think some of my reservations about it is I come down where I'm sort of in the middle of the road with VMR. I like the idea. I like the idea that it rewards service, but some of my reservations, I feel like you need to be sort of an expert at the Blue Book and sanctioning to really benefit from this. I know, you know, Will probably has some of the most experience with the Blue Book behind maybe Brandon here in the Denver Boulder chapter. And I worry that it's not a very newbie-friendly policy here in Denver Boulder. Maybe if we had a preset item list, maybe that would help, but I'm not sure what could be done better, but I just worry that only the people that really know the Blue Book and know the rules are really going to benefit from this. Is that a concern?
The preset magic item list. Whose responsibility is that again? Is that the local FC?
The sanctioning committee was working on a VMR shopping list. This was prior to the last revision of the Blue Book. So when we heard that the Blue Book was being revised yet again, we put that project on hold. So it's probably time to reinvigorate that project to get a basic shopping list put together. So,
yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, and we can use that same shopping list to for magic shops or whatnot. You know, it doesn't have to be used just for this VMR. It could be used in other games and whatnot. But
we should definitely talk to the chair of our local sanctioning committee, whoever that is, and get them on that.
Yeah. We have to sanction games first. Sanction, for me, I mean, VMR is good at the very bottom of the list. It's, yes, I'm the chair of the local sanction committee, but my my priority, of course, is sanction.
But you know, you could have that list tomorrow if you asked for it.
Yes, I know that it probably could be done fairly quickly.
But we will have to be careful that with the option of make whatever you can offer, we're really going to be able to, with conscience, move to a you can only choose from this menu model.
Jeff, could you repeat that again? Because you went out, I think, on my voice a little bit. You got a little tinny there at the very beginning. So could you repeat that?
Sure. So what I said was, even as we move forward to perhaps come up with a preset list, given that we started off letting people make up whatever they wanted, we're really never going to be able to say that people can only choose from a preset list in the future.
And that was never the intention. It was just a list to give people who didn't want to work through the Blue Book a place to start.
Yeah, the policy actually says there will be a list, but if you want stuff that isn't on the list, you have to get it through sanctioning.
Yes, and doesn't Denver Boulder also have a create-your-own-magic-item policy that's with, you know, not every chapter has that. I'm pretty sure DB is one of those chapters that has a policy like that.
We do have that policy, yes. I think we've had one or two people go through it. Not very many people that I know of have gone through that policy. The other reservation I have about VMR is sort of, first of all, that you can create a custom list. It seems like when you go through items and you go through games and gain items that way, you know, your items don't always necessarily fit, so it's not a power gaming thing, but when you VMR, it seems like you can create the perfect storm of items. Not to mention, you can also, I think one-shots are a exploit of the VMR system. I think there are times that you can get one-shots very, very cheaply and really power up your character where you might not normally have that possibility. How do you
and
guys build
right us?
I believe that's more of a fantasy rules or sanctioning, society sanctioning issue at that point, that they might need to revisit how the pricing works on one-shot items. Maybe that needs to be addressed. I don't know that that's necessarily inherent to VMR having a loophole for creating powerful characters in that way.
Sure. I see that. Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Because don't you have a similar issue with builder items?
We do, and that's something that just came up in a very recent VMR of Williams that we were talking about, where builder items, you can get an item very, very cheap, not put very many active properties on it, so they're all inactive, and then just later on when you have money, you throw gold at it, and that item gets very powerful. Again, another place that I feel like you can get items very cheaply in a VMR.
Well, so both the price of one-shots and the intent of the builder items is to allow game designers to put inexpensive items in their games. In the case of one-shots, if you didn't have the one-shot pricing, it'd be very difficult to hand out, you know, a number of magic items in a low-level game because of the treasure budget.
Level doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, and with builder items, you can give out, you know, an item that's less expensive in your budget, but grows to be a nice item later on, where you wouldn't be able to put that item into a game because of the treasure budget issues.
I don't think the issue he has is with the games. I think the issue he has is with VMR.
Yeah,
it seems like there might almost want to be a different policy between treasure for games and pricing and VMR, maybe. I'm not sure. I mean, it's just something I've sort of thought about recently.
Yeah, it's definitely a case.
Go ahead,
Ray. Please go ahead.
Well, to talk about this, do we have to remind ourselves the intent of was again? The intent is that if you're going to reset your character, you're supposed to use that gold to buy items up to where you would have been had you played the character out. So why limit what you can do in that respect? I mean, you might have picked up 15 different one-shot items on your way to 8th level. I understand what you're saying, and personally, I wouldn't do it. That's not my play style. I role-play my characters. I don't do a lot of min-maxing. In fact, I don't think about it much. That's just how I play. But other players, if they want to do it, and that's how they have fun, and maybe that's where they would have been anyway, I'm not sure that it's such a bad thing, especially if you've earned it. There's no reason why you shouldn't be able to do some of these things because you've earned it. And I say that very clearly in that when you're doing a lot of work and you're writing and you're administrating and you're doing all these things, you know, like Brandon has been doing work for years for DB Chapter. He doesn't get to play very often. Why shouldn't he be rewarded?
So the next question I have for sort of the group that I want to ask about is sort of the haves and have-nots, and this is more of an issue with Denver Boulder, I think, than other chapters, but it seems like in Denver Boulder we have a few people with a lot of cap, Brandon, William, myself, versus a lot of people who have a lot less cap. Does VMR in Denver Boulder, does it make sense? Does it because we have so much cap, we can cap up characters and then get a lot of treasure. How does that impact us versus the new players? What are you guys' feelings on that?
Well, I'll chime in. One of the things I really value about VMR is that it gives people who are contributing huge amounts to the game and society and their chapter something to do with it, rather than just bragging rights.
Does it make those people, does it bring them to a power level that's so much higher than everyone else, though? That's my concern about it.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly see your point. And I don't know how to balance those two. So I'm going to take you as an example because I can make you feel uncomfortable that way. So If we take the level of effort that you've put into this chapter in the last 3 years and compare it to somebody else, you know, pick just sort of an average, somebody that's at the mean for the chapter in terms of effort and stuff, I think it's probably okay to have what you can do with that cap be equally as as underbalanced or overbalanced or overpowered as your contribution to the chapter.
I would have to agree with Jeff on that point.
Okay.
Simply because your effort as far as keeping a chapter running should count. And for years, cap for gold and administrative cap, all these things are relatively recent additions to society as a whole. And the reason why they were added was because for probably, I guess, 2 decades, nearly at least, there were so many people putting in so much time at the administrative level, at their chapter level, and the society level, writing and running games, putting a lot of hard effort, a lot of personal time, even their own finances, into running games, making this work as an organization, who were not getting rewarded for it. They weren't getting to play characters. So if they're earning that cap, let them spend it. And if they're a little overpowered, maybe that's okay. I don't think we want to be completely overbalanced and game-breaking with these characters that are VMRing. That wasn't the intent, and we tried to make sure that was mitigated by the percentages we put in. But yeah, the haves and haves not, I mean, if you want that cap and do it, then you get, you know, put in the time and earn the cap, and then you've got the same options that Brandon has.
To that point, actually, and Jeff, I'd love to know if you agree with me. When I hit 10th level with my VMR list, I suddenly felt like I had joined the 10th level characters. I felt like I was sort of in the same ballpark. I could run the same games. Without the VMR, I would have felt totally outclassed. I would have felt like I should probably be in 8th level games. So, Jeff, did you have that same feeling when you hit... I know you played in the, you know, the highest level game we've had here since Legends. Did you...
Yeah.
No, did you have the same experience? Yeah.
There wouldn't have been any chance that I would have been able to play in that game with those characters without VMR. And, I mean, to speak to that a little bit differently, if rather than taking VMR on its own, it's probably better, as I think Ray is saying, to compare what came before. That is, without VMR, a person looking at a 10th level character who's been around for 20 or 30 years, or maybe not quite that long, but is going to say, there's no way I will ever get there. The rules are different. The blue book is different. I simply will never get that kind of power. Whereas under the current system, at least, what we can say to them is, yeah, you know, we have put in a ton of work, and here's part of the rewards we have for that. And you can have this too. If you wrote two games and produced one this year and were served on a committee or two, you'd probably have enough from that to do a pretty serious VMR for one of your characters in a year. So it's actually much more attainable now than it ever was before.
It actually encourages participation.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you want it, then okay, join that committee. And we need people joining committees. We need people running the organization, running at their chapter level and society level. We can't run as an organization without those volunteers. So that's a way to encourage people to participate.
And I think that's a good point. I mean, you brought that up sort of in one of our breaks that we were talking about, that there are a lot of opportunities to earn cap. There are out there. So, you know, either you can serve on a committee, you can NPC, you can produce, you know, and producing and writing probably is the best way to do it. But there are a lot of options out there. So what this is sort of a reward for that. So you go ahead and do that, then you can really gain the benefits from that.
But there are certainly some people who have some reservations about VMR and what you should do with it, and you know, whether it's not necessarily game-breaking, but certainly whether it changes things for the better or for the worse and what it does. Mike, I know you have some pretty big reservations about VMR and have decided perhaps not to do it for a number of your characters. Can you tell us a little bit more about what your negative thoughts about VMR?
Well, yeah, I think a good there's a couple different reservations. One, I think the ratio might be set a little too high, in my opinion. I think that seeing the treasure list that high-level characters can come out of, because you can only do it once, and because that ratio gets higher as you go up in level, you basically just want to either cap up really quickly and sort of avoid playing through all of those levels and having those experiences to grow your character, or you do it at a low level and you do it once, and then you're sort of gimped, you know, on your magic item list. So if I did it at 5th level, you know, I would have a much smaller amount of magic, and then even if I kept playing up till 10th level, I couldn't VMR again. You can only VMR once. So my issue is that it just doesn't seem quite right, the ratios. I wish it was a little bit closer to the cap for gold ratio myself.
Well, so as Ray pointed out, the ratios are set so that you should be getting close to the amount of treasure you would be getting had you played to that level. So I don't see how, even if you VMR at 5th level, you'd be you wouldn't be short compared to other 5th level characters. As a matter of fact, you'd probably be in a better position than most 5th level characters.
I think you would be. You know, I think if I did a VMR at 5th level, I would be better than at 5th level. But then the problem is, then if I played, I don't feel like the treasure in games sort of keeps up with what you can get from VMR. That's sort of my issue. So if I play at 5th, and then I do, you know, a little bit of capping up to 6th, 7th, 8th, you know, playing some games as well, and slowly get up to 9th, I'm going to be behind on treasure once again. And that's sort of my issue with it, is I like the idea of it sort of resetting the registry. I like that theory behind it. I do like the idea that it can sort of add to your character development. You know, one of my characters probably will do a VMR at some point, but it will be for character development reasons when I do it. But I also have items that, you know, that I earned, that even though I can make those, you know, same exact items or close to the same items that I got in those games, it's still something, it means something. Those aren't the exact same items, you know, that they are a little bit different. So yeah, it just doesn't feel like it really adds to character development as much as I wish it did.
Well, the caps, the percentage caps on VMR are, they don't limit you from actually using your current gold or even using cap for gold later and adding more to your treasure. You're still not limited to just what the VMR process allows. So you go through your process, you're done, you get your percentage for your level, and you walk out of there, and two games later you can say, I'd like to have X, and you can cap for gold or use your whatever gold you currently have in your character either way and buy a new item.
I certainly did it.
Absolutely. I think it's just the ratio is what sort of gets to me. So at, you know, at 8th level you get 70% of your EP, right? So you know, you get, let's say you dump 100 EP into your character and then you do your VMR, you know, you get 70% of that. Cap for gold is 10%. The ratios just seem a little off to me personally. I'm not saying that you designed a bad system. I'm not trying to give criticism there. I think it's a good system that works out for most people. But I just wish those ratios were a little bit better. That if you capped up later and wanted to use that for gold, that 10-for-1 ratio was either closer to VMR or VMR had a lot less ratio, where maybe it was 40% of EP instead of 70%.
So if I understand you correctly, you're wanting to see a smaller percentage and then having characters play their way through and earn the items that way?
And still be able to use cap for gold and then to be able to buy items as they go up in level. Because it just feels like once I VMR, I want a VMR at a really high level. So either I want to just cap up to that extreme level and then VMR, or I'm going to VMR very low level and then be sort of behind the treasure curve once again. And so That's sort of, I think, my issue with it.
Totally. So as I understand, so I'm having this issue with one of my characters right now. Is I've already started to use cap for gold. You know, he's bought a bunch of neat stuff. He's spent a bunch of cap on it. So it almost feels like all of that cap goes to waste if I VMR. So what I want to do is, instead of cap for golding and buying stuff along the way, I want to, in every game I'm going to, say, oh no, you guys have the treasure. That's fine. I don't need it. Just boost myself to that. That 319,000 EP as fast as I can, get my VMR, and then use the current rules for playing down and downgrading items to go back and play those levels. Is that kind of that's what the system sort of suggests.
In a power gaming sense.
If you're the kind of player that wants to play the game that way, not everyone plays that way. Players like myself and other role players will tend to play through. I can take or leave VMR myself personally. I might do it, I might not, I have no idea, but I might change my mind later. Who knows?
Sure.
So it's, you can't just look at the game and the process from that one perspective. And yeah, it's good to look at it that way, because you have to think about the players who would use VMR the way you're using it. And we did. It took us 3 years to think about it. But the percentages, you know, as Brandon said, those percentages for those levels, like 2 to 4, 5 to 7, 8 to 10, those things, were set based on what the average character has for those levels, so that you wouldn't be behind. The fact that you want to min-max it and say, well, it's not worth it unless I do it at 8th level, that's your choice. But for someone who's like, wow, I have a crappy character at 5th level and I really think I should reset my treasure, then that option is there for them. And they may not even be doing it for the min-max value. They're just doing it to reset themselves and to maybe get one cool item out of it that might customize their character or give them ability they wouldn't normally have that makes them unique.
Okay. So I think we've sort of talked a lot of different angles here. So let's just go around the panel and sort of just finish up on any final thoughts about VMR that anyone has that would sort of want to, or any questions that anyone might have for the panel. So Brandon, do you have any final thoughts on VMR?
So my final thoughts are in that I will name William, who will min-max things. The Magic Item list that came out for Firstborn was pretty pretty powerful.
Rockin', I think, is the word you're looking
rockin',
for.
It was rockin', yes.
and yet I still think I'm 80% of Draco, for example.
Yeah, and that's absolutely true. And the reason for that is that, you know, Draco is playing prior to the existence of any blue book at all. You know, the blue book function is only, first one was in 97. And prior to that, people just guessed at what the value of an item was. And there were no rules on what could be put in and what they could do or how they could do it. So, you know, many of those characters and most of those players are no longer active. So comparing yourself to them, is a little, I think, distracting or, you know, deflecting.
I'm not sure but I would disagree with you on that, but I'll let you finish first.
Yeah. So I think the majority of people who are going to end up using this are not going to be in the same type of position that you are with your facility with the blue book and stuff. I think most of them will be picking up items that are going to be, off, what we might call our standard magic item list, with maybe a special item that's more role-playing than powerful. I think the majority of the people who are going to be VMRing are just going to be doing it to make a character that they believe is, on par with people who've played up to that level, and maybe something that will, give some flavor to their character that they've been unable to get through other means. I don't see a problem with it. So,
Jeff, any final thoughts on VMR or any questions you might have? Or
should I make my argument first?
Go ahead.
Yeah, go for it.
All I was going to say is I think the problem is with not comparing them is that those high-powered characters are not ever going to VMR, right? Because they're not going to lose those items. They're not going to lose those broken items. So as long as those characters exist and as long as people have to write games assuming those characters exist, building a list that brings you up to 80% of Draco, it's hard for me to see that as unbalanced in any way, shape, or form. Certainly it means I am more powerful than a 10th level character who hasn't used VMR and who is a newer character, but we haven't seen those yet. I'll be interested to see what those look like, if they exist, right? It may be that everyone VMRs now. So I think we're about to see, in like 6 years, I think we're about to see what that looks like. Anyway.
Yeah, so I certainly agree with a lot of that. I think my overall sense is that I'm a little bit torn about it. I think it's valuable in that it rewards those who earn a lot of cap. I think it's a little sketchy in that it favors those who are sort of deeply in the system, who know the blue book well, who even know that the rule exists. I'm not sure that your average third level, fourth level character right now knows that this is an option. But on the whole, I think it's good, and I don't really imagine that it's going to create. I don't think it's going to create the kind of imbalance that was created by the previous system, and I think that's probably the strongest thing we can say in favor of it. Is it's certainly a lot better than we had before.
Okay, Ray, any final thoughts?
I think overall, the system does what it's supposed to do. Personally, did I intend for it to be used in a min-maxing way? No. Was it talked about? Yes. The original system, before it went through 3 years of revising, was actually a lot more strict. There was a lot more hooks in it to keep people from overpowering themselves, to keep things more even. What we have now is a system that is, with all intents and purposes, basically the same, but simplified. And some of that simplification makes these arguments that we're having here, where, okay, are we catering to one style of player or another? But we felt that the risks, the overall consensus, that the risks of people playing the game the way some people here are was worth it in order to clean up items, to balance the playing field for people, to give people options that they didn't have before. So overall, I'm for the system.
Okay. Will, any final thoughts sort of about VMR or anything sort of related?
Yeah, sure. Actually, I wanted to share a frustration I've had with my most recent VMR. So the first VMR I did was for a, for lack of a better word, for a power character. His goals are about power. His entire makeup is about effectiveness. And I'm currently trying to VMR a what I would call a whimsical character. You know, his focus is on, for lack of a better word, destructive comedy. And looking at the difference in sort of in difficulty of getting things through sanctioning for this character has been really eye-opening. I have realized that the sanctioning system, and especially as it relates to VMR, the sanctioning system has no problem with power gaming, right? If I try and build a character that destroys everything in one hit and that, you know, can blow up small cities, that is exactly what is expected, and that is very easy to sanction. Trying to build items specifically for a character who is more role-playing based and who isn't, you know, isn't trying to kill things in combat and isn't just about trying to eke the most out of my fire strikes, that has been very difficult. And I have been frustrated at every turn. So it has certainly opened my eyes to that, and being on the Society Sanctioning Committee has opened my eyes at just how combat-oriented our whole magic item system is.
That's really about the blue book, wouldn't you say?
It certainly is. The reason I say specifically for VMR is that VMR gives you the kind of budget you need and the freedom you need to build sort of more role-playing items. You know, you're not going to walk into a shop and find, you know, the widget of chaotic demon fire that you were exactly looking for.
Yeah.
But in VMR, you say, like, well, you know, I really want to be really bad with cold spells, or, you know, I want to be able to get out of handcuffs whenever I want, if it's funny. And trying to build those items is not easy. But yeah, it is certainly mainly a blue book issue. It just comes up much more strongly and more starkly when you're doing a big thing like VMR.
And I just want to sort of finish up with a couple thoughts. Just listening to this podcast and hearing all this great discussion, that there's probably a lot of our audience out there that may get a little overwhelmed with this. You know, what is VMR and what is a blue book and how does this all work? These are sort of more advanced topics that especially people writing games are sort of intrinsically sort of in the middle of. So if you have any questions about this and more detailed about how it works, or, you know, don't be afraid. Talk to your local sanctioning committee. Talk to your local registry rep. Any of us are more than happy to explain this to you and sort of help you through this process. So I just sort of wanted to throw that out there as sort of an unofficial sort of just, if you need any help with this, understanding it, please don't be intimidated. Talk to us. We understand that this topic is a little complex. Okay.
Here, here.
Great. So, thank you, everyone. Thank you, Ray, especially for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeff and Brandon.
My pleasure.
Brandon, you'll have to check in with us later and let us know how your VMR went.
I will do so.
Yeah, and if you have any questions or comments, anyone, please feel free to post them on the Facebook group, on the DB Facebook group, and we'd love to sort of chat and hear everyone else's opinion about this.
Like, hey, wow, I never knew that this existed. You've changed the way I play forever.
I can have a +3 sword, and it's really easy. It is. So, great. Well, thanks a lot, everyone, and have a great night. And this is Will and Mike signing off for the Battle College podcast.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks.